Every weekend in August, we'll have scary stories about dogmen.
Welcome to Scary Stories.
I'm P.K. Ribbit. This episode is the first of our Dog Days of August series. Every weekend in August, we'll have scary stories about dogmen, werewolves, wolfmen, and other cantankerous, carnivorous canids. Then, in September, we've got a month of back-to-school horror stories, followed by 5 episodes of Halloween Tales and Legends in October. Sit back, turn out the lights, and get ready for Season 4 of Scary Stories.
Scary Stories by Peter Bernard. Number 1.
My son talks to dog people. It's told to Peter Bernard. Read by P.Q. Ribber. My son talks to dog people. He's done it for as long as he's been talking to me. His mother and I figured it would go away in time, and it still might, but it definitely hasn't happened yet, last I heard. For now, at least. My boy Timmy talks to dog people. When he was 4, he used to tell me that they were from outer space. One day, when he was telling me about them, I asked him if they were from the dog star Sirius. He grew very serious and glared at me. "They told me you would ask that question," he hissed out at me through clenched teeth. Then he ran to his bedroom and slammed the door behind him. I stared at the closed door, with its "All Dogs Go to Heaven" poster staring back at me idiotically. I'd had disagreements with my son before, but never anything like this. From that point on, he claimed that the dogmen were not from space at all, but instead were from under the ground. His mother and I took him with us to see our marriage counselor so she could meet him, get an idea of the situation, and recommend someone for him to begin seeing on his own. He was taking his imaginary friends more seriously than he was taking his mother and me. If he was going to grow into someone who could survive in the real world, this was going to need to be nipped in the bud. I didn't want my retirement money in 20 years going to an adult child who is still talking to the dog people. And if you think that makes me a jerk, then you can feel free to support him in 20 years yourself. I think it's a parent's job to equip their offspring to survive on their own before they die, and that everything else is gravy. So my son needed to talk to the imaginary dog people less and talk to real people more. My wife felt even more strongly about this than I did. She's actually my boss at my job. More accurately, she's the boss of several of my bosses, so she is even more of a type A personality than I am. Therefore, we got our boy a shrink. Not just any shrink, but a ridiculously overpriced shrink. The best kind of shrink, if you want to impress your neighbors. This was the worst mistake we had ever made, and the worst mistake we ever could possibly make. At night, in the cab, coming home from his first therapy session, Timmy refused to speak to me. When he got home, he refused to speak to either of us. We ate dinner in silence, then he retired to his room to play. The situation depressed my wife so much that she held me, and we both just cried. It was to be our last peaceful moment. At exactly 2:59 a.m., according to my alarm clock, a tapping began on the glass of the bedroom window near my side of the bed. At first, I told myself it was a tree branch, and in my dream, I could see a branch tapping against the window. Then the sound happened again, and I woke up enough to remember that there is no tree by that window. This is as good a time as any to describe the layout of our house. Although Timmy slept upstairs, and although we kept intending to move ourselves up to the master bedroom, my wife and I were actually still sleeping in the smaller room downstairs we used as our home office. Why exactly this came to be is a long, boring story, and our tendency to place our jobs above everything else in our lives meant we had never focused on our own needs enough to get our bed up the stairs and create a normal bedroom to sleep in. So we slept in the office and used the larger upstairs room as a temporary storage area. Temporary, as in for the last 2 years with no signs of ending. Dust was gathering on the stuff stowed in what should have been the room we slept in. Meanwhile, back in our temporary bedroom in the ground floor office, there were two windows, both of which faced out onto the lawn that ended with a small patch of trees that separated us from our neighbor's property. The only tree close to the house was up front. This room was in back. Sometimes we had seen deer wandering along the edge of the trees out back, which was sweet. Other times we had seen small groups of what looked to be coyotes from a distance. Although coyote attacks on human children are rare, they do happen. So we discussed getting an invisible electronic fence installed for the safety of our small son. We discussed it at the same times we discussed cleaning the master bedroom and getting someone in to move our bed upstairs. In other words, we had never installed any security systems at all. And so, anything that wanted to could just walk right up to our house and tap on the window, like something was doing right at that moment. I tried to see what was there without sitting up, but it was impossible. I knew I was going to have to at least sit up, and more likely, go walk in front of the window to see what was there outside my house, deliberately waking me up at 3 a.m. I sat up and looked. I couldn't see anything there. I rubbed my eyes and looked again. This time I saw a shadow. There was something there casting a shadow. But I was going to have to stand up to see what it was. Judging by the height of the shadow, I realized it had to be an adult deer, or a human being, or something else of that size. This was not a fun thing to realize. I had no weapon by the bed. I had not prepared for this kind of eventuality ever occurring. I reached to my nightstand and took my autographed Mark McGuire baseball out of its display case. Then I stood up. I was thinking I might be about to face a burglar carrying a gun, and my only weapon is the baseball my wife paid $500,000 to buy me as a birthday present. An entire lifetime of choices all seemed so silly at that moment. An entire lifetime of silly choices had led to this, and maybe would end here if whoever I was about to face was armed. Nevertheless, I stood up, took a step forward, and turned to look at what was tapping at my window. And there, on the other side of the glass, I saw an absurd sight. It was a furry. At least, that was my first impression. It was a man in a dog costume. It had normal human proportions, human legs, etc., but it was furry all over and had a dog head. As funny as that may sound, it did not make me laugh. Instead, it made me feel nauseous, and I had to fight my reflex to vomit right then and there. The mask had a tongue hanging out of it, a long pink tongue, which curled up at the end. The man inside did an impressive job of appearing to pant just like a real canine would, with its tongue hanging out. How was he operating the tongue, though? I'm no expert on special effects makeup, but wouldn't a moving tongue that real require animatronics, or hydraulics, or some such thing? As I stared closely at the end of the tongue, I noticed saliva dripping off of it. The guy in the costume started growling at me, and I felt it in my feet and in my belly before my ears actually heard it. My gaze wandered up from his tongue, and when I met his eyes, he welly barked at me. I'm not very proud to say that his bark scared me so much that I screamed a high-pitched wail that woke my wife up. I tried to sit back down on the bed but missed, landing hard on my butt on the floor, still staring up at the whatever it was outside the window, who was still staring at me. My wife woke up, cursing like a truck driver and asking me to explain myself. All I could do was point at the window. But she was too busy yelling at me and ordering me to answer her to sit up and look at me on the floor, pointing at the window. I was still watching the tongue, panting and drooling. What if the tongue were real? It was the longest tongue ever seen on a man. Maybe it was a real dog tongue. What if the dog head was the real part and the man body was somehow a trick or an illusion? Could it be a puppet that a dog head was sticking through? I was thinking some crazy thoughts, but none of them were as crazy as what I was looking at. Around this time, I noticed that my wife was beating me on the shoulder and the side of my head nearest her. She was shouting things that I couldn't understand, but then I wasn't understanding anything that was happening anymore. I understood that my wife was angry at me, but that was sort of a given in our relationship. Her voice got so loud it hurt my ear. The special effect makeup creature outside the window took exception to my wife raising her voice and began beating the walls on either side of the window with its fists. Fists? I couldn't see them, but it sounded like fists, like the sides of hands, one on each side of the window frame, beating rhythmically and hard. Turning around, my wife saw, I guess for the first time, the reason I had accidentally awakened her. She never stopped screaming, but now the berating, insulting words had disappeared and been replaced by pure, unadulterated screaming of utter terror. The kinds of sounds that creatures made long before the invention of any language. I looked at her, and her entire existence at the moment was to breathe in some air, to scream, then to scream, then to breathe in enough air to do it some more. She had reached a high note, and she stayed right there on that note. And then the dog joined her. He howled, trying to match her note. Now, I had two howling dogs breaking my eardrums. It was a werewolf duet. A werewolf duet. How funny. I started laughing. I started laughing, and it felt so good. So good to laugh. So good to laugh very hard. The silly dog man was singing with my silly wife. My son had been right all along. There really were dog people. He wasn't the crazy one. This was so funny. I was so funny. I laughed at myself. Ha ha, what a funny me. I no longer live in that funny house with that funny window looking out to that funny forest that the funny dog people live in. I no longer work my funny job with my funny wife as my funny boss. The whole place made me laugh too much, so they replaced me with someone who didn't have as good of a sense of humor, which is really pretty funny. I no longer know where my funny wife went to. I no longer know where my funny son lives. But I know where the dog people are. They're sitting right behind.
You.
Number 2.
The Dog That Became a Man, as told to Peter Bernard, read by P.Q. Ribber. I'm a newcomer to Scary Stories and cryptozoology on YouTube in general, but I've recently become fascinated by online accounts of dogman and werewolf-type creatures. I've never seen such a thing myself, but it all reminds me of something my father told me when I was a kid. I never believed this story, and well, to be honest, I probably still don't believe it, but finding out that other people tell stories so similar to what my dad claimed he experienced has me thinking about it all over again. Dad is gone now. He's been gone since 2002. My much-beloved older brother was a fireman who died in the World Trade Center. It is all very hard, but it killed Dad, who didn't survive another 6 months after that. They called it a heart attack, but we all called it a broken heart. Dad was emotional. He could get theatrical. He was diagnosed as having panic attacks, so that when he actually had that fatal heart attack, his best friends surrounding him at the time did not respond quickly enough to save him. His own reputation for exaggeration may have been what killed him in the end. And it's that same reputation for exaggeration which caused me, and still causes me, to not believe the story I'm about to relate to you. That having been said, it was my favorite of all his anecdotes, and I remember asking him to tell it to me when we roasted marshmallows in our backyard at night in the spring and autumn. He would wince a bit at being asked. He didn't seem to like that I found it so enjoyable when he found it so painful. Or at least he acted like he found it painful to recount. I used to assume it was acting. Now I guess I just don't know. My family would go in the summers to stay a few weeks with Dad's Aunt Sylvia, my great aunt, who never married but had a really nice place in the country with a few acres of privately owned forest surrounding it. Every time we went there in my childhood, my father would tell me and my brother this story in the car on the way there, as a cautionary tale. One summer, when my dad was young, he went out to stay at Aunt Sylvia's. One day in that particular summer, it was so hot out that Aunt Sylvia suggested he stick close to the house and stay in the shade. Aunt Sylvia was a get outside and get the stink blown off you kind of a grown-up, so if she was saying Dad should stay home in the shade, it must have truly been a scorcher. Dad did not want to stay home that day. He said he'd find shade in the woods and set off across the lawn. He said he started to feel really dizzy and barely made it to the edge of the forest before he sat down, leaning back against a tree, facing the lawn in the house, and fell asleep in its shade. He woke up to a dog licking his face and an adult male voice asking him if he was okay. He said he was, and then the dog gave a little yip of a bark and jumped past him on his left, brushing up against him as he ran into the forest behind him and the tree. He would tell us that he looked around and couldn't see where the person was who he'd been talking to, so he assumed that he, like the dog, had vanished into the forest. Just then, Aunt Sylvia was calling him back to get some lemonade. As he slowly came back to normal and gathered strength for the walk back across the lawn, he wondered if he had dreamed the dog. Then he realized he was covered in dog hair and, brushing it off, decided that the dog and its owner were probably trespassers who didn't want to get caught, but were kindly enough to make sure he was all right before departing. It was a story that seemed to make sense, at least for a few hours. That night, in bed, he woke up again to the dog licking his face. "How'd you get in here?" he asked. "Through the open window in the dining room," said the same voice he had heard earlier in the day. Shocked by the man's voice in his room, my father said he sprang up standing on his bed and looked around the entire room but saw no intruder. "Is this a game?" asked the male voice, which Dad now realized was coming from the dog. At this point, we would always interrupt him and ask him what did that mean, the voice came from the dog. Like, was it coming out of a radio on the dog's collar? Was it coming telepathically from the dog? Was the dog mouthing the words like Mr. Ed on TV? Or was the lip sync better like in Disney cartoons? His answers were always vague enough that we needed to sort of fill in the blanks ourselves, but he did say that it was not telepathy, and he did say the dog spoke, as in the words were apparently formed by the dog's mouth. Now, I don't think that's possible with a normal dog mouth, or coyotes or wolves for that matter, even if they had a human brain attached, which they don't. But my father said this dog talked to him and that they became best friends. So each summer, when my dad went to stay at Aunt Sylvia's, he would play all summer with this dog, who would take him on adventures through the forest and teach him things about what was there. In the summer when he turned 13, Dad said the dog, who he never referred to by name and never called anything but the dog, told him that this would be their last summer together and that they would not get to be friends anymore. This made my father sad and annoyed. On the day he was set to leave, he told us he saw the dog from a window in the house running toward the forest. He ran out after it, seeing it going behind a bush. Still running as fast as he could, he then claimed he saw a man with the same color hair as the dog coming out from behind the bush, pulling clothes on, and running away further into the forest. This caused him to stop running immediately and stand there, confused. Did the dog run past the man sleeping behind the bush and wake him? No. My father was convinced the dog ran behind the bush, changed into the man, and quickly put on the clothes he had stashed there while running away deeper into the forest. We would try to argue other possibilities to him, but he would tell us that if we were there and if we saw what he saw, then we would understand that this dog changed into that man. He said that it was the most unsettling experience of his life, and while he was happy to bring us out to Aunt Sylvia's, we were not allowed to play with or even touch any stray dogs that we might come upon. If a dog appeared on the property, we were to immediately go inside and call animal control. He made us both swear to this. I once asked him, if he was friends with the talking dog for his whole childhood, why was he so scared of us talking to it? He said it was because the dog had never been honest with him, and he never really found out what it truly was. If we don't know what something is, we can't begin to guess at its motivations, and we can't calculate our own safety in the situation either. Although the dog never did him any harm, he found the memories disturbing enough to warn us. I asked him to take us into the forest and teach us the things the dog had taught him, but he only repeated that these things were things that man was not supposed to know. So when we were kids, we figured he wasn't times because he didn't really know anything about the forest, and he was just acting like a big shot to impress us kids. We never did come across any stray dogs while out there, so that added to our notion that Dad probably had just gotten heat stroke and imagined the entire thing. But these days, when I hear stories on YouTube of Dog Man and Goat Man, they are often described as being evil or demonic. And that is definitely the way my father wanted us to feel about his talking dog slash man encounter. If anyone has stories of a talking dog or a dog changing into a man, particularly if this story takes place in Pennsylvania, please forward them to me, care of this channel. I kind of doubt it, but maybe someday Dad's crazy old story will be vindicated after all.
Still to come this month, Man-Wolf of the Woods, Werewolf of the Warehouse, Wolfman on the Golf Course, Dogman Broke Up My Marriage, plus Madeline Star Returns.
Check us out on our YouTube channel, Scary Stories NYC. Bigfoot Attacked My Tiny House. Scary Stories by Peter Bernard, Volume 1. Now available on Amazon in paperback, Kindle, and audiobook versions. Narrated by P.Q. Ribber and me, Madeline Starr. Forward by TV's famous Timothy Green Beckley, better known as Mr. UFO.
And if there's anyone out there who can't get enough of P.Q. Ribber, search in your favorite search engine for P.Q. Ribber, and you'll find plenty of podcasts, music, and weirdness.
Come back for more scary stories.